Welcome to Blinkers Off with your hosts, Jared Welch and Aaron Halterman.
What is up? What is up? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. It is Thursday, March 21st, and this is Blinkers Off. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Yeah, good day. Geez, one of the best days of the year for sports. Thursday, start of March Madness, but also Saturday, kind of the start of March/April Madness in horse racing. We're in the final rounds leading up to the big event now. So it's a March Madness of our own this year as well.
Yeah, the Madness will officially begin this weekend, because from there on out, it's like I said, I think I said it last week. It's from here on out, it's you know, basically I'll see you in April when we're discussing the Derby and who we're going to pick, because at this point it's every weekend. I mean, next weekend, this weekend you get the Louisiana Derby and the Jeff Ruby, which two good races. And let's be honest, the Jeff Ruby is producing, I mean, it produced Rich Strike and it produced two Phils the last 2 years. Next week you got the Louisiana Derby, the UAE Derby, and the Florida Derby. And then the next week after that, you get the Arkansas Derby. Then week after that, so the next week's going to be huge. Then the weekend after, the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, and the Sandy Derby. So it's like, we're going to be sitting here, Halterman. April 13th is the Lexington, but really after April 6th, it's like, okay, we're a week or a month away from the Derby. We kind of have an idea who our horse is.
I'm going into the last 3 weeks, and you can't really say you go in with a blank slate, because you got to remember what these horses have done beforehand. But as far as could a horse that maybe I've got ranked like 60th on my list shoot up to number one? It could, right? Like that's how I'm going into it. It's like, this is, of course, we're going to wager on it. Of course, we're going to hope our opinions are right on all these races. But the big thing for me is this is going to be going to school, basically, these last 3 weekends to kind of analyze this. There's never been a year where it has been a total just, I have no clue going into this, who I'm even kind of thinking, right? Where last year, even it was felt like it was wide open, but you had that, okay, I could definitely see myself picking Forte, right? Like he's doing well and he's going to win this. And Practical Move out at Santa Anita and everything that was going on with him and Go Rocket Ride at the time. It's like, okay, I could see myself. This isn't that. This is something completely different. It's a completely different setup this year.
Yeah, there's 20 horses that can make the gate. And as we sit here, like I said, after, you know, couple weeks out of 3 weeks of these last preps, it kind of feels like you could make a case for like 10 to 12 different horses, really.
Yeah,
pretty easily, really.
Yep. I was talking to somebody the other day and we were kind of just going through the list of horses. They go, what do you think about Sierra Leone? I was like, yeah, he's all right. What do you think about Dornock? He's okay. You know, what do you think about Fierceness? It's like, I don't know, but he's okay, I guess. You know, what do you think about Track Phantom? I don't think he's that good, but he's okay. The long story short, that's the whole thing. Every horse you go by, it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe, but that's where it ends. There is no, oh, I feel good about a horse, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, and we talked a lot about it last week too. It's like, this is where it's like, okay, you got to have your handful of horses that you kind of mentioned there and whoever else, but it's like, and then you get, you know, you let these last races just kind of be your tell, you know. If it doesn't impress you at this point, then it's like, all right, it's time to, at least this is how I feel, time to get off that wagon for now. Like when it comes to the Derby, like if this last prep, whatever horses you're looking at, whether it be, you know, horses like that come to mind for me that I'm kind of interested in is like Sierra Leone, is Timberlake, is like Catching Freedom. We'll talk about this weekend. You know, some of those horses where I'm like, I kind of like, and I think they've got a lot of upside, but at the same time, like I need to see that one more. And so if Timberlake, you know, it sounds like they're going to now run in the Arkansas Derby, you know, Catching Freedom is this weekend. Like if they don't impress me, I'm not going to sit there after those races and say, well, wasn't bad. Maybe the Derby. No, I need something solid at least this year to be like, okay, I can at least I can at least feel confident backing that horse.
Yeah.
In the Derby.
Yep. Good. Yep.
Because you don't want to go like this year at all. And again, it could definitely happen because it kind of feels like it could be that year where the horse runs his best race that day, and you just can't see it coming. But I feel confident this year being like, all right, I at least need to know that my horse can. I have seen a race from him that could win this race.
Yeah. I always kind of chuckle when people go, we got to find the horse that's going to run the best today. And I'm like, well, good luck. Like, how are you supposed to know that? Right. It's like, yeah, sure. the horse that runs best today is going to win. I get it. But that's not
to know beforehand.
Yeah. That's not a unique task. And that's not an easy task either. I mean, that is just kind of a racing 101. But yeah, you do kind of feel like, and Mage would have been an example, as he ran the biggest race of his life on the biggest day, and he never did it before and he never did it after. Right. But you know, to know that is really hard to do. So, I don't know. I like I said, I've never been more confused about the Kentucky Derby. And you know what's weird, dude? Like, when we get into these individual prep races throughout this season, I've hit the fair share of them. Like, I'm predicting the preps pretty reasonably, probably a little better than last year even.
Yeah.
But yet, I'm getting the preps right, and I have no idea about the Derby. So it's like, that's really weird. You'd think if you're getting the preps wrong, that would lead to the Derby being kind of funky, but that hasn't been the case, really.
And I think the problem is that, well, at least it feels like they've been so scattered, and as far as how some of the horses have come back, that they've separated themselves to where. And even like when we had an opportunity with the Fountain of Youth, dude, it's like they all scratched, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like you had a feeling like, hey, maybe we can get a little tail here with some of these horses and who's who and how good they are. And then they all scratched and it was just Dornick, you know? So it's like we haven't really had that. These final preps are the best we can do, right? Are going to show something for us. This Louisiana Derby should show us a little bit with who's who, but. You know, that, and obviously I was a little frustrated, like from an owner in the fantasy league for Timberlake, I wasn't mad about going to the Arkansas Derby, but from a betting standpoint, I kind of wished he would have ran the Bluegrass just so I could see, okay, Sierra Leone versus him. I need to see those two go at it and see who I like, you know, who's better, because now it's like, well, it's going to be Bob Baffert, Timberlake, and maybe one, you know, Mystic Dan or whatever. Like you almost are worried that you're not going to get those. Like, I think the reason you're picking good or you're doing okay in the preps is because they're kind of one per race, almost feels like, where it's like, yeah, I feel pretty good about this one. And it might be a problem when we get to the Derby where it's like, okay, all these horses have been pretty good. Now you get to pick, you know, like that's happened. I remember that happened the year, or at least I felt like, what was it? It may have been Pharaoh's year, but I mean, we loved Pharaoh. So it was like, I wasn't too worried, but you had a handful of horses from all the different divisions. You know, Pletcher had one, you know, Bob Baffert had the two, but you had like several coming in from all the different divisions or all the different tracks where you're like, wow, we're going to really find out some things about these horses. Whereas I don't think I feel that way this year.
Yeah. Pharaoh's year, they were all good. It was like, oh, here comes Audible. He's done good down in Florida, you know, and Dortmund, he's a beast for Baffert. Maybe that's Baffert's best horse. And, you know, you go on and on, right? Where, or not, no, Audible, I'm sorry. Audible
was just five.
Magnum Moon.
Yeah.
Is who I was thinking of. I get Magnum Moon and Audible messed up. Yeah, but Magnum Moon and Dortmund and Firing Line, who'd went out and won at Sunland by 20. So, yeah. And now it's like, well, I wish we could find a Magnum Moon, you know, like, can we have one?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. Like, again, it's just why they run them, you know, it's, you know, we are going to find out. Ron, I think, you know, you say it's Sierra Leone and everyone else right now. And I mean, I think that's the attitude to have when you go into, these last preps, cause you kind of put of now, because you have that opinion. There's nothing wrong with that opinion, but like, don't let it determine or give a bias of like, maybe he runs pretty good, but at the end of the day, it's like, really wasn't that good, but you can like, well, that might be enough. And again, maybe that works, but this year I don't want to have that attitude going into this Derby being like, I haven't seen quite enough what I want from him, but it might, maybe that will be enough. I don't want to have that attitude,
I think going into this, he's the one most likely to improve. So I would say that I have him number one, and it's not so much what he's done. It's what I think he can do and like what he's capable of doing, if that makes sense.
I feel almost the most confident in him. Like, was it Forte? And of course he scratched, so it didn't matter. But where you were kind of like last year, you're like, well, maybe it was Epicenter the year before. I don't remember. But you basically at least I know he'll run well. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pick you can make. Maybe it was Epicenter. It was like where maybe at Epicenter. Least,
yeah,
where it's like, at least I know, like, I feel pretty confident he won't embarrass me with that pick. Mm-hmm. Sierra Leone kind of feels like that a little bit to me. Like he's pretty much ran well every time. He seems like a horse that's going to get better as they go. He seems like a horse that's, going to go long well. So it's like, but I also have a little feeling he's a Zandon kind of horse too, where it's like, maybe he can't quite get the job done.
That's what I was going to bring up, is he Zandon? Like, he could be, and let's not, now everybody's going to go, well, Zandon, like, he was awful, but let's remember moving up to the Derby when he went and won in the Bluegrass, he looked really good doing it. And he ran really well in the Kentucky Derby. You could sit there and say he should have won, and he probably should have with the trip he got. I mean, he was right there to do it for sure. But what I'm saying is Zandon leading up to the Derby was a horse that you thought, well, yeah, sure, he can win. But, is Sierra Leone that type, or can he take that next step and be that type of horse where we go, well, yeah, maybe he's coming from behind, but he's just really better than everybody else. I'm not sure the answer to that. I think he's better than Zandon. I want to go on record in saying that, but I don't think we know for sure yet.
Tuscan Gold in a romp from Mark. I mean, I don't know anybody's going to romp this year in the Derby, but he's certainly one that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about him in a second, and it is the type of year where that horse could really, if he's ready to go and really ready to blossom, he might be one that you better take serious.
It's, again, this is going to be such an important last couple of weeks, maybe the most important we've ever seen as far as, at least in recent years, of really coming up with, your pick. And mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I think that's, you kind of almost have to come into it this year with that thought process of like, listen, this is a different year. These horses are very tough to, this year more than ever, it feels like. And so it's like, don't beat yourself up with like forcing a pick, or don't overthink it. Sometimes it's like, well, listen, this isn't a good crop, but this is the best of this bunch, and then move on. So I do think this year, I think we're going to see three different winners again.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a case of like, well, this one horse stands out, and even though he's not great, he's better than the rest. I think this crop, I think you're going to see, especially with Baffert possibly looming out there for the Preakness, like that's going to cancel that one. We saw it last year, right? Mm-hmm. And then the third leg, the Belmont, that's such a wild card in itself. So,
yeah, it's set up again where even if the Derby winner is doing really well, the Preakness is going to be tough because it's a fresh horse. And like you said, it's a fresh Baffert, and like a fresh Baffert that at the time really hadn't shown it. Like, he had been good, but not great, won it, And so now it's like, well, like all of his horses are, that are healthy are pointing there, like a Muth, for example, if he's there, or a May Moon. But however, we were saying, well, they're going to, Nysos is going to be there. Now he's probably not, unless some kind of miracle happens. So you do have to take it of, okay, yeah, sure, right now that looks like a tough spot, but who knows if he's going to have healthy horses either. So to me, it's just like, let's see if somebody can be impressive in the Louisiana Derby, right? Like, I honestly and truly am not even thinking about the Kentucky Derby yet, because it's hard to think about a race where you don't really know who's going to be in it, and you don't really have any excitement as of now on who to bet. So I'm more excited for the Louisiana Derby right now and the Jeff Ruby stakes than I am the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, even the Jeff Ruby, I've got my – it kind of has my interest peaked. Because, again, like I mentioned, I think, you know, two fields last year ran a really – I mean, really winning race, really. And then, of course, Rich Dryack, who didn't win the race, but, yeah. You know, obviously won the Kentucky Derby. So, I here's how I'm going to do it. And then we'll start the show. But what I'm going to do is basically coming into this weekend, I have no Derby pick.
Yep.
I have zero Derby. I honestly do not have a horse right now.
Yep.
I'm going to go into it saying I don't know the timing. Louisiana Derby might be first. Who knows? They run it dark most of the time. But right. Which I think if Louisiana Derby's first. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens right there, right? I'll be like, all right, that's right now, that's leader in the clubhouse.
Yep, yep.
I'll watch the Turfway race and I'll say, okay, did I think that was more impressive than Louisiana Derby? If not, Louisiana Derby horse stays on top for me. And then I'll watch next weekend and I'll do the same thing with those three and basically just kind of live, you know, determine it by process of elimination, right? Yep.
I think in a year like this, what you're saying is spot on what you should do. Unless you're out there and you got a different feeling and you're like, no, I love horse X. Well, okay, that's fine. But when you're in the headspace that you and I are, and I think our whole team at Racing Dudes, where they're at right now, that's how you do it. Okay. Like you said, Louisiana Derby just happened. Okay. That's my guy. That's what I like best out of that race. Let's see if he could go beat these horses, the Jeff Ruby. If you check the mark or you make check mark, then you go to next week and go on. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like, cause I think, and then honestly, if you really can do that and keep all the biases out, at the very least, you can come up with, you can at least have the confidence in your ultimate last pick. Right.
Yep. Yep.
It may be wrong, right? You know, it's obviously it could happen easily. But at least you'll be like, listen, I think that is the best horse out of these last 3 weeks of preps that I saw. And then that the rest happens, right? So
if you want to lead into the show, like the end of the preview now, I think there is a horse for me, at least. I'm not telling other people to have this opinion, but there is one horse in the Louisiana Derby I'm actually thinking maybe this is the horse. So,
all right. Well, we're going to preview and give our picks for that $1 million TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby at Fairgrounds and the $700,000 Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park. These are the first two 100-point prep races of the 2024 Kentucky Derby. Then we're going to give rapid-fire selections for the two Oaks preps races this weekend, the $400,000 Fairgrounds Oaks on the undercard and the $300,000 Bourbonette Oaks at Turfway. Let's go. I'm excited now, Halterman. You got the build up. You got the build up.
probably scratch now, but
yeah, scratch at the gate. No, that only happens to your horses. So
yeah,
in your fantasy exactly. League. So don't worry, you don't own this one.
No, I don't own this one. I don't need it. Well, no, I do. I do now own the three in this race, but that's not the horse I'm talking about.
At least you have a runner.
Yeah, I had to spend 20 points to get him.
But, it's not been a good year for you.
I left the draft thinking I have the team I wanted. That's perfect. And I have they all got hurt, and I don't think I have hardly any of them left, and I haven't won a race all year. So it's been fun.
You're really good at this.
I'm just like scratching my head. Back to back years, I left the draft thinking, all right, that's pretty good. And yeah, I don't know. It's bad.
And they're off. And the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
Saturday at Fairgrounds, race number 12, the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby. Great two, $1 million race going a mile and 3/16. For, of course, the 3-year-olds, 100 points on the line for the winner, 150, 25, 15, 10. For your top five finishers, and you do get a field of 12. So you're essentially looking at top three finishers most likely getting into the gate this year for the Kentucky Derby. So massive, massive race. Of course, the Jeff Ruby Stakes will also have the same points. So these races here, Halterman, and then the next stretch here, like we talked about, are just so critical, and you're going to start seeing horses that are going to be starting, you know, that are going to need these points to get into the gate. And you know, you kind of teased it a second ago. You've got some plenty of options in here. You've got horses like Tuscan Gold for Chad Brown. You've got like Pletcher's got a few in here. You've got Brad Cox. You know, you really have Hall of Fame, you know, had all the hype and, you know, looking to rebound. Can he kind of turn it track phantom? Maybe, you know, it's just there. This feels like the race that we kind of all wanted, right? That as far as what we hoped we had a few, you know, weeks ago with these prep races where it's like, okay, we got a good feel for some of these horses, but now let's see them face it off against each other.
Yep. No, absolutely. This is it. This is what you want to see. Hopefully all of them stay in the race because this is a race where you could really learn something. And you hate to say it about any horse this year because it just seems like a jinx at times, but I really think the number five Catching Freedom is the one to beat in this spot. And I'm not going to say I'm excited about him, but the more you watch his races, the more it's like, okay, there's one little problem. And if one of the best trainers in the country can correct it, he might be decent. And that's Catching Freedom, number five. Like I said, you know, you go back, you watch the Smarty Jones and it's like, geez, he's never going to fire. And then once he did get straightened up and ready, it was like that. And he was past horses. If you go back and watch the Origin Star last time out, this horse is for sure a winner in your eyes. Like maybe not even top of the stretch, maybe mid stretch. It's like, he's going to run right by him. He's got a good trip and he's going to run right by him. And he started at stupid drifting out crap again. And this time he couldn't correct it fast enough to beat horses that were a little bit better, but he still only got beat a length and three quarters. And so I'm kind of sitting here thinking, okay, Sierra Leone's who I have ranked number one. He beat him by a length and three quarters. If Brad Cox can figure out why this horse is drifting in the stretch and costing himself links, not only would Catching Freedom would have won, and he would probably be everybody's number one horse. So I just really believe if they can figure out that issue, he's kind of the one to beat in this spot. And I think he might be the one to beat first Saturday of May. So I went number five, Catching Freedom on top. But if he drifts in the stretch in and out and all that shit again, I mean, it's not going to work. So that's the caveat.
Yeah. And to that point, let me ask you, like, as we alluded to over and over on the opening of this, if he does run well again, like, cause he really has ran well every time, and just had those issues. If he does that again and runs another second or third and kind of drifts, and is it going to be hard for you to be like, man, maybe he could figure it out on the first Saturday of May, you know, maybe, or is it going to be like, listen, this, like, he needs to win here, or I don't feel that way anymore about him being your pick in the Derby?
Yeah. I think it's more of the second thing you said, where I can't find a way to, if he does it again, it's like, well, why do we think he's going to correct it himself in the biggest race with 20 horses? It doesn't seem logical.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Saez or Torres did anything wrong, because I really don't think they did. But if Flavian Pratt can't get it straightened out, I don't think anybody can, right? I mean, I love Luis Saez, and I love Christian Torres too. I really do. It's not a knock on him, but to me, it's like, okay, you're bringing Flavian in. This guy's the best in the world, in my opinion, or at least the best in this country. He should be able to get it figured out. Cox should be able to get it figured out. And if they can't, that's just this horse. And I don't think anybody's going to.
Yeah. Saez rode him last time, and there is a star. Saez is going to be at Turfway. Pratt coming in to ride Tarifa. That's probably the main draw, right, for Brad, in the Fairgrounds Oaks. But then of course, I mean, not bad to get him on this horse either, as a replacement for Saez. So listen, I'm with you. I think this horse has the most upside of the group, has the kind of the most, like, he's a horse that I think if he just could figure it out, like you said, that, I mean, he's ran really two solid races in the last two races. And I like the fact that Brad, you know, sent him off to Fairgrounds for that Risen Star. Again, that was in the slop too. Ran well, brought him back, bringing him back to run him here and going longer. So, I don't think there's any issue with that pick. I like it. I do think he is got like he is the making of a horse of like, listen, that's my horse. Like I said a second ago, like that's my horse. Now let's see what happens at Turfway. Now let's see what happens next week, because I don't have a lot of problem. I can sleep at night saying Catching Freedom is my horse, you know, like if he runs well here, right?
Yep.
Cause he's got the trainer. He's got everything really. The owners, you know, everything seems to fit here, but let's talk about a couple of others. Do you think Track Phantom can bounce back? I mean, it's like you say bounce back. I mean, he ran a nice race last time and he got beat by the horse. Like you said, kind of mentioned too, with Catching Freedom, you got beat by Sierra Leone, who is kind of across the board most people's number one horse right now. I mean, is it one of those things for me? It's like, yeah, I mean, he could win, but that last race, he kind of had everything his way again and got nailed. And so he's one dude that I have the most issue with. Like, even if he wins, I'm going to be like, yeah, but like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, almost like if he wins, I'm like, I don't know. It's like, well, that group maybe just wasn't very good, and I still don't think he can win the Derby.
Yep. No, I'm the same way. Eventually, he has to run a faster race, and I don't know how to say it any more clearer than that. I've talked about this dumb horse all year long, and it's just a fucking repeat every time I do the Derby video of, well, he does everything the right way. He gets the trip you want. He has early speed, but he's not headstrong, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, there's one little problem. He's not that fast. He just hasn't ran a fast race yet. Mm-mm. Epicenter started to really improve at the Risen Start. He was getting faster. This horse has been compared a lot to Epicenter because he kind of does. He's that same pattern, you know, and then he kind of runs the same as far as where he sits in the race. But he's not getting any better. He's the same type, and he's just been good enough to beat everybody until that last race. I wouldn't be shocked if he wins, but I don't think you want to play him as a favorite in this race. He's going to have to improve again. And you know, the other thing, I'm not 100% sure this horse really wants to go this far. You look at his pedigree, it kind of doesn't scream a mile and 3/16. So that could be a problem as they get longer here as well.
Yeah, I'm really hoping, you know, I mean, for my bets, obviously I'm betting against him, but I'm hoping that he runs well, but shows that maybe that he is distance limited, just because, like I said, I don't have a ton of interest in him regardless of the outcome of this race. And that would be kind of annoying, right? If we leave this race saying, well, he won gate to wire, and only because basically Sierra Leone wasn't in the race. So I guess the only thing you would have from that is, okay, I guess even though Sierra Leone didn't run here, he is my horse as of today. So I guess there is that possibility of this race still kind of confirming a Sierra Leone outcome for me, even though he's not in the race. Now, number four, Agate Road, is going to run here. He is double entered he's in that Turfway race as well, the Jeff Ruby, but he is going to run here. Todd Pletcher wants to stretch him out. He gets that, you know, you saw him the same if Davis after running in the turf, same if Davis, he kind of came to the scene late and was flying. So Todd's saying, hey, maybe we go longer. He can do it.
I don't like him on this race. I don't know why they didn't go to the Jeff Ruby. I think that one made a ton of sense for him. I think he can run on the dirt. Like I definitely think he can do it because he's got class, but I just don't think the dirt is where you're going to see him at his best. I really think getting back to the turf would have made the most sense here. You do have that long stretch for him to close into, but I couldn't get there with him. I think he'll get way too far behind, and I think he'll make a run, but I just don't think his dirt races are good enough. So I did not use Agate Road.
And then you got Triple Espresso, who's going to run at Turfway, a horse that I backed last time in the Colonel Liam, did not go well for me. So they're trying synthetic for him. Whereas, yeah, I'm kind of with you with Agate Road. I think really the horse I'm most interested in from the Pletcher standpoint of this race is your new horse, number three, Antiquarium. Like, I don't know. Like, it might be a little soon for him, but I liked if you go, remember, if you guys remember that last race where he ran on the undercard of Risen Star, like, I liked it. I thought he looked really good. But it could be, it's a bold move to run him here. It's a little aggressive, but I think he's a nice horse, and I like that, you know, Velasquez is retained the mount for this big one.
Yeah. No, loved him last time. And it was a really good race from him. And, you know, the second place finisher, Cornishman, came back to win last time out at Fairgrounds in a special weight. So that was good. And then we know the only horse that's beat him in these two starts, Conquest Warrior, he's going to be a really short price in the Florida Derby, right? Probably second choice. So, yeah, I mean, I think Antiquarian makes sense. He's another one. He's going to have to run a little bit faster. You're kind of right. He's going to have to get thrown into the deep end of the pool here, and he's just going to have to find a way. But I think he can factor into this thing at 12-1. I think there's worse plays. I really don't think he's going to win this race, though. I really think it's a little too much too soon. And I think maybe down the road, we're going to see him at his best.
Let's see. Eddie, we literally just said that. Fairgrounds. He's going to run at the Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Triple Espresso is going to run at Turfway as well, as Noted. Hey, I'm with you, man. I hope, Jeff, I really do hope that Noted as well for my betting and my fantasy purposes. We'll find out. We'll talk about that race in a sec. All right, a couple more questions of this race. You know, all the hype. I won't put words in your mouth, but I want to say you picked Hall of Fame in the Risen Star.
Yep.
What are you, do you have somewhat confidence in the fact that Aspison has decided to try again? Or do you think it's just a last ditch effort? Let's see if, you know, that was just a one-time deal, in that last race.
I think it's psychotic to run him here again when you could just wait 1 week and take him to Oaklawn. But I still have faith that this is a good horse, is the best way I can put it. I didn't pick him. I'm going to use him on pick four, pick five, pick three, daily, double, whatever. I'm using Hall of Fame. I definitely. But I couldn't go back and pick him again. Hey, my biggest issue with him is he got a pretty poor ride, I thought, which Santana's back, so we'll see what happens. But besides that, he still was in a position where he shouldn't have ran seventh, right? He should have got third, fourth, something like that, if he really ran a decent enough race, even fifth. He should have been up closer to those horses in front. So I couldn't go back with him as far as a win, but I still think he's got a lot of talent, and I'm not going to let him beat me in the multis, but I couldn't pick him on top. The other thing is he's like Antiquarian in a way, but he's got that one stakes race under his belt. So that's good, but he still lacks seasoning compared to like his stablemate, you know, Catching Freedom, you know, some of these horses. So there's too many negatives for me, but the one positive is it is a sign of confidence that he's back.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a Derby winner in that maiden special weight, and then he looked like a bum in the last race. So it's like, what, you know, what is he? Because, you know, the first race he lost and didn't run great. So it's kind of like, what is he? You know, was that the outlier, the maiden special weight romp? You know, kind of his best race ever, or is that an indicator of what he is? I mean, he's a $1.4 million son of Gunrunner. Giant Causeway mare, like, there's a ton to like about him, right? Maybe he didn't like the track. Maybe, you know, the first stakes on combined with the slop, combined with the trip, you know what I mean? Like, there are excuses to be had there, but so I don't hate the idea of keeping him in, you know, your plays. All right, last thing, and then we'll give our final picks here. Which McPeak are you playing in this race? And even if that means underneath, because that's a McPeak special, but Real Men Violin 20-1, Common Defense 6-1, last time out, finishing second to Timberlake. Didn't run well in the Southwest. McPeak sending them here, maybe because of the distance added. I don't know.
I don't like either one of them all that well, but I have more interest in Common Defense than I do Real Men Violin. I think that is a horse that if the pace kind of comes back to him a little bit, he's going to pick him off. So I would play the 10 before I would play the 9.
I would too. I would not play either one to win. But I do think that last race from Common Defense is a little bit like, you know, what he is. That's just where he kind of comes and picks him off late. But I don't really think he's good enough to win the race. But if you're looking at a McP course underneath, I would probably play the 10, Common Defense.
I don't really like either one of them.
I don't either. Because the thing is with him is that feels too obvious.
Yeah,
you know, it feels like too obvious of a McP course to play, like longer distance and the horse that comes running late, and you know what I mean, like 6-1, like that's I don't know, either one. I mean, if you want to get stupid, just play Catching Freedom over the 9 and the 10, and just say, oh, well, maybe one of them will do it. So it feels like I would be kind of surprised if both of them don't hit the top, you know, 4, because that's just kind of what his dumb horses do.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's almost impossible to predict. But anyways, all right, you're going number 5, Catching Freedom.
Yep, I'm gonna go Catching Freedom. I just hope he runs well. Like, you know, it's just like I finally feel like I've got one that I really kind of like. I just hope if he loses, just at least go out there and run well and don't just be a total disappointment. But anyway, long story short, yes, Catching Freedom for me.
Catching Freedom for me as well. I just, you know, you kind of alluded to it earlier, but I just think he's a horse that shows a ton of upside and gets a better jockey this time, jockey upgrade. And just, you know, I think with just a little bit of luck, racing luck, he can get it done, especially beating a couple horses. I mean, this horse might be the third choice of the race, really, if we're lucky. Definitely the second choice, I think. So, you give me the five Catching Freedom, and you know, because it is a 100-point race, I think you almost have to do three and a half because of the points that are some of these horses already have as well. So 3.5 over under starters of the Kentucky Derby.
Let's see. I think I'm counting here. I'd go under 3.5. I think it's 3.
I think Track Phantom's in. I think Catching Freedom is in. I think, I mean, one horse that finishes second, maybe. Give me 3. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's under. You don't typically see more than 4. You don't see 4 plus typically out of this race in the Derby.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think. Now if like Track Phantom's off the board, well, all of a sudden that could open up a spot. But if you're assuming he's going to run well, yeah, he's going to get a lot of points, but he's in anyway, you know?
Yeah. Give me under, I think, but I don't think it's 3. I think the number is 3. But yeah, there are our picks, for the Louisiana Derby on Saturday. Yeah. We didn't really Tuscan Gold Halterman. I mean, we kind of talked about him a little bit, but, you know, do you think he kind of is a little bit to me like, you know, a little bit like the Hall of Fame horse where it's like he might be really, really good, but this is a big test.
It's an odd spot for him. It's a big test for sure. I'm a little like scratching my head. You know, this horse is based in Florida. Why not just go to the Florida Derby, you know, and kind of run at your home track? But he's not for me, but if he is for you, I don't think that's a bad pick. I was really impressed with his race last time out, but this is a whole different ball game this time around. And, you know, drawing the 11, I don't think is great. And like I said, it's a new track. I couldn't get there as far as a win.
Let's see. This race will go second. The Jeff Ribby will go first. So that's at 6:25 Eastern. So 5:25 Central. The Louisiana Derby is at 5:42 Central.
Okay.
So it looks like the Jeff Ribby will go off before. So we might have a Jeff Ribby horse, Halterman, that needs to be knocked off the podium as we head into the Louisiana Derby.
There's no might. We will have a Jeff Ribby horse.
We technically will have one. How high is the podium? We'll find out here.
For 15 minutes, this Jeff Ruby horse, whoever it is going to be our Derby pick. So
that's right. So that is race 12 at Turfway, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, Grade 3.
And they are racing in the Jeff Ruby Stakes.
We're 700K going a mile and eighth on the all-weather track, of course, for three-year-olds, and it is a 100-point race, 150, 25, 15, 10. So, again, three horses plus, you know, definitely in this race, you know, a lot of these don't have points, so you're looking at three. Definitely two out of this race that will make should make the gate. And like we said, this will be prior to the Louisiana Derby. So this will be the starting off point on Saturday for the Derby preps. Field of 12 lines up here. You are going to have Agate Road. I guess it will be because the Triple Espresso scratch it. Well, I guess, will he scratch in if Circle P?
Well, if Circle P gets in, then Triple Espresso is still going to be on the outside looking in.
We need one more, which, you know, based on how it's gone, probably will get one more. But so let's just say a field of 12 lines up here. And really, man, it's endlessly, it's 5-2 off that impressive effort last time out. If Agate Road, that's their second choice, scratches out. I mean, you got to think Noted will take some money out of the, off that 10-1 for Todd Pletcher. But really, if you're going against endlessly, you kind of just pick. You got your choice, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen in this one. There's so many horses trying the surface for the first time. You don't know who's going to take to it and who's not. Yeah, I went number 10 endlessly on top just because it's like, well, we've seen this horse run on a synthetic surface. It was at Golden Gate, but, you know, that this it's at least a start over it. We also have seen this horse run against classy horses and not, you know, be competitive. And so that to me was good as well. So I went number 10 endlessly on top here, but there's so many question marks in this race. It's crazy. You know, there's so many horses that they just haven't sniffed the surface before. And that makes it really hard to kind of formulate what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's I really don't have a feel for this one. I don't know how you really could, because to me, endlessly you're spot on. I mean, he's probably the horse, right, that deserves to be the favorite and certainly probably the one that's been the most impressive. Well, certainly on the surface. But you have a handful of horses that, like you said, that aren't terrible horses that at least have been competitive in their other races, but again, trying the surface for the first time. You know, I lean towards number four, Noted.
Yeah.
This horse has ran two really bad races. One was in the Breeders' Cup, which was in the juvenile. And going into that, we're like, what are they doing? And then the last one. And that one made no sense to how poorly he ran that day. Was a favorite in that one, was a favorite in the race prior. Like, let's not forget, like, he beat Dornick. Like, so it's like, and again, that was last year in August, but that was on the dirt too. It makes no sense that last race. So I'm just going to throw that race out. The Breeders' Cup, you have an excuse, but I do think he will like this surface. I think the fact that Pletcher is shipping him here and he's taking Agate Road to Louisiana tells you that he thinks this horse could win and get Saez aboard with Irad back at Fairgrounds. So give me the 4 Noted. You're not going to get 10-1 with Agate Road out, but you might get like 4-1. Mm-hmm. Ish. So I think this horse is playable at this price.
It makes the same amount of sense as endlessly. It's like, look, yeah, we've ran well over the turf. This, you know, turf to synthetic kind of equates. And I'm with you. Like I almost picked this horse on top, but I don't know, man. That last race was horrible. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he just got disinterested or what. He had to go really wide on the turn, but you just have never seen him back up like that. He just came backwards. And so that was concerning. There's no doubt. That is very concerning. But I do think he will handle it. You know, like some of these horses, you know, like a Lucky Jeremy or a Northern Flame, you know, horses like Otello, horses like that. They've never been on the turf. Seize the Gray, never been on the turf or the dirt or the synthetic. And it's like, I have no clue. But Noted, since he has that turf form, you kind of do get the feeling of, well, I know that he's probably going to handle the surface. So that's hurdle number one, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you do have, if there's not, you know, not a ton of speed in this race, like he could be hampered by that. Like I could definitely see him running second or third here. And like, okay, he ran okay, but maybe, you know, because again, too, the issue I have with him is he's never really none of them really have either, but his numbers really have never really improved. They just stayed the same. Even that pulpit where he looked pretty good in his kind of 3-year old day, or I guess that was the end of his 2-year old debut, but he looked pretty good after that Breeders' Cup. He ran like a 77 buyer. He ran a 78 in the Bourbon where he got second to Can. I mean, he ran a 79 when he beat Dornick. He ran a 72 in the Kitten's Joy. I mean, he's not even ran an 80 buyer, dude. And so to me, that's a little worrisome, like that he has not shown that kind of bump up.
Yeah.
In the same regard, a lot of these in this race haven't either. And he's not really had the opportunity to, because they've ran him in they ran him on the dirt, and then they ran him back on the turf, and then they ran him in the Breeders' Cup, and then they ran him back on, you know what I mean? So it's kind of been like he hasn't really had a chance to do that, because I feel like they've kind of been all over the place with him. So
yeah.
Again, I like him from a value perspective. I just don't know really if he's overly that great though.
I mean, but who are you going to pick in this race? And you're going to go, I know they're overly that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a thing. So it's like, I hear you, but you could throw that out the window kind of in this group. It's funny, like Magic is handicapping now for the Betting Bible and getting ready to send him over. And he sent me a text. He's like, I've had six different horses, or maybe five or six different horses on top as I handicapped this Jeff Ruby. I was like, yeah, I get it. Like it's, I'm not going to call it a joke, because it's not. I mean, I think these horses are solid that are in it, but there are so many question marks to this race that it's like, how do you really handicap it? You just kind of have to go with your angles, and your angle is, I don't think he's not that great really, but at times when he's in the right spots, he's been just fine.
All right, Ron, we'll take care of you here. I've seen it. I've seen you. Number three, Lucky Jeremy. So if you don't think there's speed in the race, this horse definitely could be your lone speed horse. You know, last time out in the Sunland Derby, couldn't quite get the job done. And that would be my concern for you. The numbers are not bad, but you know, at a mile he did it, and a mile and 16th he couldn't. Sunland is very much a speed favoring track. He just kind of, he's got beat and against weaker horses, I would argue, even. So that would be my concern with Lucky Jeremy. Halterman, maybe you have a different take.
Yeah, I think pedigree wise, there's a chance he takes to the surface, so that would be good. But yeah, it's all about, you know, how good do you think the Sunland Derby was, right? Like, do you like Stronghold? If you think he's pretty darn good, then I could think you could play Lucky Jeremy here and you'd be all right. I don't know if he can take the field gate to wire or not. It's going to depend on how he handles the surface. I kind of think Northern Flame's going to go a little bit, and I think from that outside post, West Saratoga is going to go. I'm skeptical that Lucky Jeremy is going to get a loan on the lead. But, yeah, look, I think he's at 8-1. He's definitely live. I didn't play him to win. I did put him in the exotics.
What are your thoughts on the 8, Otello? This is a horse that for Clement, Castellano gets some out. It was bred pretty hard, really, in the Holy Bull. It was 5-1 that day to, you know, Hades of, you know, domestic product. You know, Fierceness ran third. You know, had some hype, won the Mucho Macho, man. Now he switches surfaces. Thoughts on him?
I don't know what happened last time out. I just don't. He was just awful. I don't necessarily look at his pedigree and think, oh, synthetic's what he needs. I don't know. My best answer. I at one time I would have thought, okay, if he's 15-1 in the Jeff Ruby, I'm on him. But also it's like, well, if he's 15-1, that means he's done some bad stuff. And look, I mean,
yeah,
I still think he's decent, but I can't back him in this spot after that. It wasn't good.
Yeah, listen, that race was weird because there for like a hot second, I was like, so I remember that day I played the Fierceness Otello, which I think Otello was like the 3, exact is straight. And there for like a hot second, I was like, this is going to hit, because Fierceness looked like he was about to pass for the lead. And Otello, it's like, well, he's does his thing from the back and he's going to come running up and, you know, he's the second best horse of the, you know what I mean? Like it all kind of, and then it didn't. So he was really bad. He was really, really bad that day. And I think the concern with me for him is like, well, it's not like it's been a horse like, oh, you know, he's really struggled on the dirt and now you get a surface change. It's like, no, he looked really good on the dirt for two races. And then that last race, he looked really bad.
Yep.
Could it have been the distance? You know, he's sired by Curlin. He would think he could get mile 16th, certainly last time, right?
I mean, that's why I kind of liked him. I thought, man, good win at a mile, but I think he's going to be better going longer. And he was just awful. And you're kind of right. Like, he didn't have too much of an excuse. Like, he just came out flat and dull. And the most frustrating thing about it is it's not like the horses that finished ahead of him, like, ran faster than he could run. Like, he could have, if he fires, he's right there with those horses. He just didn't run a step.
All right. I got the number four noted here. I'm just banking on a 4-1 or so plus price. I just think, you know, the fact that he's shipping here and he's shipping the other one out. I know Triple Espresso trying to get in here as well, but I think that's an indicator that at least he thinks he might like the surface, gets a good jockey. And again, I don't have a lot of upside. It's like, oh, hey, you know, like I would feel pretty bad if he wins and be like, this is my derby horse right now. but he is my pick to win. Who you got?
Oh, I thought we were ending.
Oh, no.
Endlessly. I go number 10 Endlessly. I don't like it that well, but I think he's the most likely horse to take to the surface. He's got more class than everybody now that Agate Road scratched. So I think number 10 Endlessly is the play.
All right. I'll go two and a half.
I'll go under.
I'm trying to think it's two. Like, even, you know, with two fills, did the second, who finished second to two fills?
Major Dude, I think.
He didn't run.
No, he ran in the turf race.
Yeah, he was in the turf. And then the year Rich Strike won or lost, but ran, you know, won the Derby. But who ran?
That stupid horse DeRosa bet. Tis the Bomb.
And,
Tis the Bomb. And I can't remember who was second to him, but I think they both ran in the Derby.
Yeah.
And Rich Strike, obviously. So they went over.
Just based on this field. I mean, if Endlessly were to win and then Noted ran second, let's just say, I could see those two going. And then obviously if Seize of Gray were to finish third, that's there's your three. Because you know Dwayne's ass would try.
Yeah.
But I'll go under just based off what I think of this field. So give me the under.
Yeah, Ron's right. Tawny Port. It was Tis the Bomb, Tawny Port, Rich Strike. They all three ran in the Derby that year.
Tawny Port, remember him? Yep. Brad Cox, right?
Yep. And I believe, did he go win the Ohio Derby after?
I think so.
After the Kentucky Derby? I think he won it. Let me look here. I think he beat White of Barrio, didn't he? Did he not? I think he did.
Wow.
Hold on. Stand by. Let's see. Tawny Port ran in the Lexington. I totally blocked that out of my mind. After the Jeff Ruby, then he seventh in the Kentucky Derby. Yes. Then he won the Ohio Derby.
Yeah. Beat White of Barrio.
He beat White of Barrio.
How the turntables have turned.
Who did he beat in the Lex? Tawny Port in the Lexington beat Major General in due time. Yeah, all that crap. Oh, Dash boy. Attack, those stupid ones. Jim Dandy said he ran a hell of a race in the Jim Dandy. Oh, yeah, that's when he faced Epicenter. Yep.
All right, time for a rapid fire presented by the Louisiana Derby 2024 Betting Bible. That is now available at racingdudes.com. We're finishing off the product, but you can go ahead and get that purchase made, so you'll be the first to receive when it's available later on tonight or tomorrow morning. We are again finalizing all the bets. Magic's working on it. Halterman's got his, you know, we're working on. Halterman and I have been absolutely on fire this year. We're both at 21, a plus 21% ROI, which I thought was funny. I'd like triple check that because I was like, I was when you guys see it, I kind of redesigned the look of it, and I was like, wait, did I do something wrong? Why? It's both of us 21%. But yes, we are both at a plus 21% ROI. I believe we've done four this year, and we both are 3 of 4, basically, where we've had three good ones, one kind of stinker. But we've done really, really well. I killed it last time at Fairgrounds, so I'm looking to kind of keep that going this week. But yeah, 40% ROI combined at our in the Risen Star betting Bible. Go get your hands on that at racingnews.com. It is on the Racing News Premium page. You can get it for free if you are a premium subscriber. So anything as simple as a $70 a month subscription, we'll get that for free. And guys, I mean, we have one next week. This is the time to do it because you've got the upcoming preps, as well as the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. This is the time to be a subscriber. The Turfway, we will have we will have Turfway bets, though. We will have the Jeff Ruby Stakes bets in there if Halter and I decide to make a bet in that race. But you also will have top four picks from everybody at racingnews.com for that race as well. So you will get a little bit of action. Yep. And, of course, we have Turfway bets at racingdudes.com always, where you can get your hands on that for $10, as little as $10 a day. At yep. Turfway. So, guys, all right, there's a go get the betting Bible. It will be available later, like I said, later today or tomorrow morning. Let's go back. We're gonna do the Two Oaks races on the weekend as well. Race 11 on the undercard of the Louisiana Derby is the Fairgrounds Oaks. It's a grade two worth 400k, going 116 miles for fillies, 3-year-olds, and it is a 100-point race for the Oaks, 150, 25, 15, 10. Halterman, field of eight, but man, the 8-5 favorite for Brad Cox Pratt, who I mentioned earlier, might be the horse he came in for. Tarifa, this is a horse that just looked really, really good.
Yeah, that's my pick, number 5, Tarifa. I'll be short and sweet with this one. If she runs that race she ran last time out, I don't think they'll beat her. I think it goes through the 5 of the 6. I think the 6, you know, second off the layup's got a shot, but Tarifa, I didn't think two races back was all that good. This time was really good. So give me number 5, Tarifa.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I kind of, we both were like, that last time we're like, oh, I guess she is really good.
Yeah.
I think we both tried to beat her and paid the price for that one. But yeah, she seems really just too good to beat here. The stablemate, Alpine Princess, well, you'll hear her name in a second, but she is going to run at Turfway. So in the Bourbonette. So again, we might mention her in just 1 second. But yeah, I'm with you. I like the 5, Tarifa. Listen, Pratt ain't coming in to lose. I'm hoping for my bets. I guess for your bets as well. That Brad Cox has a nice little stretch there in these in these last couple of races because he's got some good ones. But yeah, give me the 5, Tarifa. And man, I hope again we talked a lot about the Derby, but I mean. Like, just I know you kind of have a feel for maybe one, but still needs to be proven. Just like I need a horse, you know. I need a horse for the Oaks, and maybe she can be it. So,
same, absolutely the same.
Tarifa would secure that for me. At least again, I'm gonna probably operate that the exact same way as the Derby stuff, where I'm like, well, for now that is the horse. So. Give me Tarifa. Race 11 at Turfway is the Bourbonette Oaks. 300K going a mile 16th on the all-weather track for Philly's 3-year-olds. Field of 10 lines up here. 2-1 on Alpine Princess, Saez, Brad Cox. Listen, I'm going Saez. I'm going Pratt. I'm the two tracks, basically. I think Alpine Princess is the one to beat if, you know, she's going to run here. I think this field is below her, so. Give me the 1, Alpine Princess.
Yep, Alpine Princess. That's for me as well. Look, I thought two races back she was very, very nice. And I thought last time out she was not. So, but listen, I do think she's the class of this group. And that's going to be where I'm going at today for this one. I did not think this drew all that well. So I think Alpine Princess is the one to beat. Number 1, Alpine Princess for me as well.
Man, that Rachel, I mentioned how good of a Risen Star I had. Well, This was not one of them. You know, this is actually the one that I was one of the more confident in on the day, and I missed it. Right, it was one of my bigger bets of the day, and I loved her, and I don't really explain that. Not only did she lose, she got just annihilated Didn't really have a lot of excuses. The last two prior to that, I thought she was kind of becoming my Oaks horse, really. So I'm hoping she rebounds. I guess I get why, because, you know, Tarifa beat her in that day, and so he kept her there, and then he's running this one here. But to me, this still feels like a horse that could rebound, and not only could rebound, but could still make a case for her being a legit Oaks contender. So I'm not off of her yet. I'm going to bet her here, especially number one, Alpine Princess. Wouldn't you say, like, to me, this feels like even more so than these, like they're always going to be that way. But with this race, more so than the Jeff Ruby, it's like, okay, like he clearly is just separating the two. And this is going to be, I still think he has intentions of running her in the Derby or in the Oaks.
In the Oaks. Yep. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. Yep. It seems like, hey, my A horse will go here, my B horse is going here. That's what it feels like to me.
And on top of that, it's like, how nice is it that, hey, we actually know there is your A and B horses, because like we would love to have that in the Derby division, right?
Yeah. Yes, we would. Yes, we would.
Maybe we'll get that. We'll get that. Fingers crossed. All right, guys. It's all time. We have to check us out at racingnews.com for our free picks and our premium selections on our products page. Click the Get Racing News Premium button at the menu at racingnews.com to learn more. Remember, go get your hands on that betting Bible. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and purchase it. That way, as soon as it gets released, we send out an email saying, hey, go get it. It's in your, it'll be right there in your dashboard. You don't have to do anything other than download it. So you'll be the first people to get it. So go ahead and get your hands on that. Again, if you are a premium subscriber, whether you are already or you're considering it, now is the time to do so, because you will get that free, as well as what we have, Halterman. Just as a quick, do we have Bibles this weekend, but the next 2 weeks after that as well?
Yeah, we'll do the Louisiana Derby Bible this weekend. We will do the Florida Derby betting Bible next weekend. That'll also have Arkansas Derby coverage. And then a Bluegrass betting Bible that'll also have Santa Anita Derby and Wood Memorial coverage in it. So busy 3 weeks. Last year, we also did a Lexington Bible, so we may do that and make it four straight weeks of betting Bibles. And then, of course, after that, the Derby. So, yeah, we have a ton of stuff coming up. It is just getting started this weekend.
So listen, let's just say it's like every 30 days. So it's not like the month. So if you buy a premium subscription today for $70, each Bible costs $30.
Right.
Unless you get in on top of the, it's $40 for, $40 and then $50.
Yeah,
$39.95 for a Bible, $40 or $50 for the like Derby and the big ones.
Yep.
You're getting three Bibles, so you're getting $120
mm-hmm.
in value for $70.
Not bad.
So if you have any intentions whatsoever of purchasing, even if you want to just purchase two of them, two of the next three, that's the way to do it. On top of getting picks every single day for every single track, the premium picks that you guys can. That you've come to know and love from Halterman, you get all that every day. So,
yep.
I get it for free because I own the site. But if I didn't, why would you not? Right? I mean, right. If you're betting the Bible, that's the way to do it, guys. So go ahead and subscribe. It's just $70. Let's see. What are dudes you bet? What are you guys doing?
Dudes you bet? We actually already did it. It was Monday, so you can go watch it now. We broke down the entire bracket. Papa Dude and I both went game by game in it, so you can go check that out now. Yes, it has started, but there's still a lot of games that have not started, so you can go check that out right now.
Shoddy, UAE will be on it. Whenever prep we're covering on the main Bible, every other prep, Derby prep will be at least featured in it. So you'll always get our preps, even the UAE Derby. If we have a bet, no matter what, you'll get our top four from the race. I honestly haven't even looked at my bracket. If you guys haven't seen, if you guys are in the dudes bracket, you'll see Koopa Loop in there. That's Cooper helped me pick it. So,
all right. Let's see.
He literally picked every mascot. So we do have Florida going very, very far. Thankfully, he likes the dog and the Huskies, so that works.
Yep.
Can't remember who else he put in there.
You guys are 3 for 4 so far.
All right, there you go,
Coop. Yep. So you're doing just fine so far. 3 out of 4.
Who'd we miss?
I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing you missed BYU. Duquesne beat BYU.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, I think he considered the other Duquesne, but no, I don't think.
Okay.
Bummer. All right, guys.
That solves a mystery of who is this person.
Did you wonder?
I had no idea who that would have been. No.
What is it? Does it say Koopa Loop? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it says Koopa Loop. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Currently, there are 4 perfect brackets in ours, and then a bunch of us tied with 3 out of 4. So.
Do you want to tell, or do you want to have people go listen?
As far as who I picked to win it?
Yeah.
I picked North Carolina to win it.
North Carolina. Who'd your dad pick?
He picked Connecticut.
Okay. There you go.
Yep. So, let's see. Koopa Loop is beating Papa Dude right now. Papa Dude's only 2 for 4. Make
sure you screenshot that. There you go. I kind of did it. Because obviously, like, I'm terrible at it, right? Every year. It doesn't matter. So I'm like, well,
yeah. Coop,
Why don't you do it? So,
somebody I can't remember who was asking me, it doesn't matter, said, hey, send me your bracket. I don't know anything about it. I was like, you don't want to look at mine. It's like, this is the one thing where you just pick mascots and shit, you know, like it's impossible. Don't worry about it. You know, yeah,
there's no rhyme or reason. You watch your dad watches every game. Your dad knows the mascots and the records of the teams that didn't make the NIT, you know, like he knows them all. And yet, like, Cooper could very easily beat him in this thing. So
very easily. Yeah.
It's so stupid, but fun, right? Because that's what I remember doing back in the day when I had a real job. I was always like the bracket guy, you know, I handled like the office pools and stuff. And the one year this girl won and beat everybody, right? And was like, how did you know, like, and I can't remember which year it was, but it was something where I think it may have been the Butler, remember when they were kind of like they had that something like that, and she's like, well, I don't know, like I just picked the colors and the I liked the, weren't they the Bulldogs or something, like I just liked the, you know, I'm like, oh my god, you know, you just sit there and you're like, oh my gosh, you know?
Like, how did this happen?
So stupid. Like, you pick colors and mascots and that's how you won the thing. So and again, like with ESPN and how most people do it, it's like you get more rewarded for later, you know, if you have Butler going in the Final Four, obviously you're getting points that no one else is getting. So she just killed it. So how many people did we get in that thing?
I think we got 37 this year, 37, 38. Let's see. We've got 37.
And what's the winner get?
Nothing.
It's a year's supply of free picks from racingdudes.com.
Nope. Didn't get anything.
Guys, make sure you check out the Magic My Show here in about 40 minutes. They're doing the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5 Fairgrounds and Turfway Park. So that'll be a doozy.
Yeah.
Again, that's in 41 minutes. So Magic should be happy we didn't push over his time. So
I know he won't be a brat today. That's nice.
And he'll find something else to bitch about. But anyways,
well yes.
All right, guys. Guys, listen. By the way, let's the old Koopa Loop. I might want to go check that Koopa Loop is breathing, because has not made 1 ounce of noise this whole time, and he is here. So
yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, might want to check and make sure he's on the road or something right now. playing the mailbox, or he's usually pretty good about.
I was gonna say, he doesn't usually cause much trouble.
He's stranger danger, so, which is good. He won't run out without me. So, all right, guys, thanks for everybody tuning in again. This next couple of weeks, buckle up. It's gonna get real between March Madness, but especially all the Derby preps. We're going to hopefully find some answers. We're going to start this weekend with some answers. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Good luck this weekend at Fairgrounds and Turfway.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Blinkers Off. Join our horse racing community at racingdudes.com and follow us on Twitter at racing_dudes. Want to make money betting horses? Bet with the Racing Dudes.